What is this?
This article you shared has some funny quotes.
Which one?
I like the, about the biggest drinking city. I like that the title is just Wisconsin, officially the drunkest state in all measurable ways. Like per capita.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I did some shows in the northern part of Wisconsin, and I was pretty amazed at how brazen the drinking and driving was.
Oh, really?
Everyone was hammered. And, you know, there's no public transportation. Like up near Green Bay and even north of that.
Yeah.
There's no public transportation. There's no Uber. There might be Uber now. This was a while ago. But I was just like, wow, you guys are like, you should not. And everyone was drunk. And everyone was driving, you know.
I mean, I guess the thing they fear the most is just hitting a deer while they're driving. Have you ever driven from that stretch from, like, Madison to Minneapolis?
Yeah.
How many dead deer there are on the road?
The deer, that's probably like, I saved somebody's life by stopping you.
Yeah, exactly.
Of the 20 drunkest cities rated by this website, all but two are in the Midwest. And 11 are in Wisconsin.
11.
Well, I mean, their greatest export is beer. The weather
sucks.
Is it
their greatest export, though?
What, maybe cheese. What they're known
cheese.
For.
Cheese.
Why would I, yeah.
Cheese and beer.
I wonder what the cities that aren't in the Midwest, what would it be? New York?
No.
If you did absolutely and not per capita, but
what are the other cities?
New Orleans maybe, or Austin? They're pretty drinking.
Yeah, I would bet New Orleans would be a good would be a very good choice.
But most people that drink there don't actually live there.
New Orleans?
Yeah. But the people that I know that have lived there are huge drinkers.
Pittsburgh?
Pittsburgh's a pretty big drinking city if you don't count that as the Midwest, yeah. Wisconsin's just dominating this list. This website sucks. It only lists like three on a page. Alabama. Anniston, Oxford, Jacksonville. I don't know if that's where the University of Alabama is. No, I don't think so. Anniston, Oxford, Jacksonville metro area. And Gadsden, Alabama. And then Kingston, Bristol, Tennessee, Virginia area, where I think is where University is. Is that where Memphis and University of Tennessee is? Oh, in Farmington, New Mexico, whatever that is. I don't know if that could possibly be like a Native American. Oh, there's actually a couple. Rocky Mountain, North Carolina. Knoxville, Tennessee.
That was quick.
It's fucked.
Oh.
Memphis,
Dion, how's your call?
Sean's not going to like it.
We need three more crowd servers.
Hey, I don't need to do anything for the crowd, guys.
Beautiful house.
No, Dan.
Well, or it's full to get, is what I'm saying.
Well, that summary's wrong. There's actually quite a few non-Midwest cities in here.
Are we doing stuff here?
I think so.
Don't use any last names.
Okay.
Are we doing stuff? Calendrello?
No, I was... You're using a different recording setup here.
Method.
So I'm just curious if...
I'm using the same one I always do.
He doesn't mess up either.
What does that mean? You've always used your Surface?
No. No, I'm not recording on
that. Oh, I see it. I didn't see it. Sorry. It's over there.
I leave that alone.
Don't.
So nothing gets screwed up, theoretically.
Cool.
We'll see if that holds true.
All right.
So did you have a good call?
I think, yeah. I mean, it's...
What was the subject?
So
TB, I'm guessing?
No. As we move forward into a world where our phone book is huge and we can reach out and touch anybody in any other opco. We need to be able to find them.
You need that microphone in front of your face and, if you're going to say things, by the way.
And this conversation was about making sure that how we are viewed in the cloud and now the universal global address book is in line with everybody else. So we've done a great job since we were, I think, first in the boat to be in a address book that was known as the UGAL. And our values are all good, and we share almost everything that we're supposed to. It's just kind of in the wrong attributes now. So we just want to swap some things around and then fix our department. And then, yeah, I mean, we're going to add a new attribute, which...
Fix our department. What does that mean?
So our department has to list your company for an IP telephony system in our South AP region.
Department has to list a company.
Yeah. It's got to list not only that you're in technology, but that you're also in, you know, our Sydney or Melbourne office.
Oh.
In order to work in the IP telephony world.
That level of...
The problem is we put your company first and not your actual department. Right. So it's wrong. We need to fix that, which we will, which is fine. But the part that Sean's going to like is we're actually going to remove a PowerShell command to set our usage location on everybody, because it's wrong to begin with. We're going to set it in Active Directory, which is going to be nice.
Oh, but the issue was back in the day...
That attribute doesn't even exist. No, they don't even have that. They're actually extending the schema. Remember we just talked about CMT's last project is to update the schema for Active Directory?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, they're about to do that tomorrow or tonight or at some point. So the attribute will be there. We'll set usage location on everybody, which is equal to the two-digit country code. That'll sync into the cloud, and we won't have to set it via PowerShell.
Assuming DirSync syncs it, yeah.
Correct, which it should. It's a supported attribute. However, we will now have a new MS conferencing license to add to everybody moving forward.
This is assuming it all gets approved.
Right. Starts in New York in June, though.
Assuming it all gets approved.
You know, New York.
Licensing.
Has
right. nothing to do with New York.
Right. So, but I guess if they don't have phones in New York, they're going to need...
Nah, phones.
They're going to need something?
All overrated.
Uh-huh. So anyways, if and when that happens, we'll have to add... two PowerShell commands to our... Take one away, add two new ones.
But would you get rid of Domino?
Huh. I have my doubts that that'll work. We'll see.
The what'll work? Syncing the attribute?
Correct. I don't believe DirSync can out-of-the-box sync usage location.
It can't. We are extending our schema to add the attribute.
But how are you going to tell DirSync to set the usage location attribute in the cloud... from the extended attribute?
Because I can pick all of the attributes.
You can do custom mapping in DirSync.
I've already added employee number to our sync, which isn't out of the box. We're syncing employee number because we want you to be unique in Azure. So I've already added that one as a custom app or a custom attribute.
This is good pod.
But it's not in the Office 365.
Good pod.
This is great pod. It is in the Office 365 world. It's not
in Azure.
It's in Azure.
Yeah, so you can't license a mail. We'll see. I would say it's less than 50-50. It'll work. I'd be surprised if it works. I'd be very surprised.
Well, we're going to set it in AD, and if it doesn't work, then IBM can worry about setting it on every single user manually.
But I would highly recommend they try it first, because I doubt it'll work.
I'm not going to not test it and then tell you to shut our entire PowerShell system down. So, but that's the plan.
That's how we do things usually. Just
that's
go straight
the plan,
to prod.
Sean.
Straight to prod.
And this is what a work call sounds like.
Yeah.
For all of you that may be listening out there.
When you ask me how a call goes with the hammer, then you should know this is what the calls are and why I have a beer in my hand. So...
yes, welcome to the Worldwide IT
Good
Guys.
Talk. Yeah.
No, let's talk more about work. So
we
much
are
fun.
The Worldwide IT Guys here for podcast number 36. I'm Steve, and I'm back in pocket.
I'm Dion.
I'm Gavin.
John.
Sean.
And once again, we're the worldwide IT guys.
Are you in the right pocket or the wrong pocket?
And I missed last week, so I had fun listening to you guys. I'm curious, though. I heard something. What happened to you? What did you have a barbecue incident this
week? I did.
Weekend?
I like to smoke meats on Sundays, and I...
Who doesn't?
I did a pork shoulder, made some good pulled pork out of it.
Sounds great.
And I was, you know, after dinner I was cleaning up and everything, and I thought that the coals were cool enough to put in those plastic garbage bins that a lot of towns have that say do not put hot ashes, coals. It actually says that on the lid.
Yes.
So I put the coals in there, and I closed it up and didn't think anything of it and was inside, and all of a sudden my crazy racist neighbor's wife comes running across the street and rings our doorbell, and she's like, there's a fire on the side of your house!
Oh, no.
So I went outside, and there was a pretty big fire, but I had missed most of it because it was all the way melted to a puddle of plastic.
Ooh.
On our side of our house, but I still had to... get baking soda, and is it baking soda powder, whatever my wife gave me. I poured on it and it put it out, and I had to get the hose on it. And
it wasn't more charcoal, right? No. Okay.
No. So
as long as you didn't do that.
We were really close to burning our house down.
But the house was okay. The
house is fine. A little patch of grass has to be repaired. Aww. But
okay,
that's about it.
But
yes.
It didn't scorch your house or
no.
Well, that doesn't sound very pleasant.
It wasn't.
I'm glad your neighbors were looking out for you. Racism or no?
Yeah, exactly. Well, it was the wife. It wasn't actually my racist, angry neighbor. So.
What do you think he would?
Yeah, he would have gone. Well, we were joking. Your house is on fire, and the Mexicans are moving in.
He probably fought his wife to not go and tell us. He probably wanted our house to burn down.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Come on. You, too young and. Forward thinking for his taste.
He doesn't like kids or cats. I'm not sure if I've told this story before, but he's actually sued two of our other neighbors, take him to court because their cats were in his yard.
Really?
Yes.
I've never understood people like that.
And the judge basically just laughed at him. Yeah. And said, get out of here. Wasting time.
I just never understood why you would just poison a relationship with somebody you're going to spend the rest of your life.
Well, he's done that with pretty much everyone.
I mean, just like to have that much anger in you.
So he's threatened me two times in the last 2 weeks. Because I was playing hockey on our driveway and our ball rolled across the street into his yard.
Jesus.
And I walked over and grabbed it and walked back.
Oh my gosh.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
He's one of those types.
That's insane.
That is completely insane.
I think
has this guy been there forever?
No, not really. He's been there a while. He's like 80-some years old, and he's a retired dentist, and he's had a stroke, so his brain isn't really there. And I think he's bipolar.
Been there a while.
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense that he's retired, because only someone who's retired would have enough time to waste to go to court for something that stupid.
So what he does now is he sets traps in his yard and catches the cats.
For kids. Really.
For kids and cats. And he just calls animal control. Come pick up a cat. Take it away.
Oh, God.
He's just such a dick.
The block's going to throw the biggest block party when he dies.
Well, the thing is, we can't throw block parties because he'll call the cops on us.
Oh, my God.
He's called the cops on a block party. We live a cul-de-sac, too, so we basically put a barricade up.
Oh,
and so what usually happens, I hear, is they wait until he goes out of town,
and then
we have a quick block party.
Sure. Mm. And there will be a big one when
he dies.
When
yes.
he's gone.
Yikes.
Yep. Oof. Neighbors suck.
Yeah. He does like to garden naked, too, out in his backyard.
What the fuck?
And nobody's calling anybody on him.
Maybe, the stroke just turned him into an asshole. Maybe he was, an okay. You hear that sometimes. People get brain damage from strokes, and it changes their behavior,
So I don't know if the neighbors actually called the cops on him when he was out in the backyard naked, but it has been done.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Well, that's fun from John's neighborhood. Thank you for sharing. So what did you guys talk about last week? Is there anything to catch up on? No?
Did you ever get to your movie review, Dion?
He did. Oh, but we did. We cut off last week. I don't know if everybody knew this, but we lost the last story or two. I don't know.
Oh, really?
You guys, got chopped off at the end. So I don't know what was talked about at the end there, but I had a couple of things from my notes on stuff to talk about. Did you guys see that SpaceX? Did you guys talk about this last week?
We did not.
There was a SpaceX went out and actually commissioned a costume designer from Hollywood to design the spacesuit.
I read
that
this.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So it's sort of like life imitating art. They want their suits to look like,
cool.
Yeah, like the artificial suits that you see in the movies, and not like real suits. You know.
Oh, okay.
So it's this cross between, you know, how can we make it functional but also like be a modern day what you'd expect from the movies kind of spacesuit. Yeah.
What movie was it where they basically had to recreate the face mask all glass so you could actually see the actors' faces on camera?
Was that Sandra Bullock one, I think,
no,
wasn't it?
It was well,
Gravity, or it might have been that Mars one.
Yeah,
it could have been Mars.
Martian.
Mm-hmm. I think it's Martian. It was an older movie.
Oh, really? Oh, I don't know.
Maybe, yeah, I forget which one it was, though.
Yeah. Well, these are the suits that I think they're just wearing inside the vessel. So, like, these aren't... Like, I don't think these people are going out
okay.
in space. So it's Hollywood commissioning them. Basically, they could just wear probably pajamas, but
yeah.
SpaceX wants them to give them something cool to wear inside the vessel. Because I don't think they're, like, leaving the vessel. You know, it's funny, I have... I don't have the details, but I was at a bar, and I just thought this was the funniest sentence I've ever heard, probably. And he knew I worked in computers, and he's like, I'm trying to figure out if my brother-in-law is smart or if he's, like, a great bullshitter. And I'm like, I don't, you know, why are you asking me? He's like, well, he works in, like...
Because you seem like a really good bullshitter.
Yeah. He goes, he works in big data. And I'm like, well, you know, that's pretty complex math. He's probably... I mean, I will say it's a new field, so you could probably bullshit your way into it, too. But he goes, well, he has also been to space twice. I'm like, well, he sounds smart. Yeah. You know? I just never... He goes, well, I'm like, you know, what else has he accomplished in his life? He goes, well, he has been to space twice. I'm like, well, you know what? I think he's smart. You know?
It could have been a new test to see what happens if you put the village fucking idiot in space. Who knows?
Yeah. Does space make you smarter like the Fantastic Four? You come back with powers.
Well, come on. The first... things from Earth in space were monkeys,
yeah,
right?
So, yeah. Animals, yeah.
And Buzz Aldrin, how smart was he, man? Was he a fighter jock before that?
Oh, yeah, he couldn't have been that smart. No. Come on.
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
That's amazing.
That's pretty good.
One of, like, how many people have been to space? 200? Less?
It's also... Because it's funny, like, Orlando has an astronaut hall of fame, like, you know, down by NASA. I'm always like... Like, who the hell isn't in the Hall of Fame? Like, I almost feel like so few people have been to space that you should just get in the Hall of Fame, you know? Like,
NASA pretty much should be a tight club there. So
533, just for
people have been to space. Okay. Wow. That's insane. Now, I think this guy, what he has done, just in defense, is, you know, like those flights they have that, like, technically leave the atmosphere and then somehow they come right back down? Like, I think he's been on those flights.
Okay.
But he's so successful in business that he's able to pay that for the, you know, so like he's probably a smart guy, you know. My argument to this guy was like, if he's not smart, he is so good at bullshitting that in and of itself is an intelligence that, you know,
you could probably Google his name.
Yeah, probably. So. Yeah.
So talking about space, I can't remember the number, but the International Space Station has, like, gone around the world. How long has it...
Was it 100,000? What was the milestone it hit?
It's like 100,000. It's like an astronomical number of times around the Earth.
Wow. Yeah.
And they say, like, that's the equivalent of going to Mars, like, three times or something that.
Yeah.
Wow.
That this thing has done
it. It's been up there for so long.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's insane. And I don't know if it's... Like, what did they design it for? Did they plan for that kind of thing? Or are we now running a bit on borrowed time?
Yeah, it's amazing. Well, because I know technically, you know, it can't stay out there forever. That initially, like, its orbit will degrade and so on. But, yeah, that's amazing. It's amazing to me. Like, Chicago has the Museum of Science and Industry. And if you haven't been there, like, I encourage you to go, like, where they have all the space technology. Because one thing that's absolutely amazing to me is how claustrophobic it all is. And,
oh,
like,
it's very tight.
You see these modules where it's, like, it's, my shoulders could barely fit in it. And these astronauts spent weeks, you know, in the initial missions, and I'm always like, I'm always amazed at the discipline that these astronauts have, that they could just sit in those tight quarters for that long.
There's a lot of alone time up there, too.
Oh, I'm sure.
That one guy that's up there for a year.
Yeah.
Just came back. Wow.
Is that the guy who has the twin brother? That's That's an interesting study.
But nobody's up there alone, right? I mean, they're always a team.
You do have teammates from like all over the world. Like there's a Russian dude up there and an American dude. But yeah, that guy's kind of interesting because they're studying how long-term space affects the body, and they found that he and his twin are like still physically identical measures, right?
No, one grew or shrank. He grew when he was up there. I think he's taller now.
Well, yeah, that's what they... So apparently because the gravity isn't pushing us down, like our bones like expand in space. But I guess like other weird things happen that they don't know why. Like your eyesight gets worse and they don't know why.
In space, huh?
Yeah, so they're going to like basically him and his brother are just going to do tests for the next year to see who's better at everything.
I would almost...
So they probably had to do tests for a year to figure out who was better before orbit, and then he was up there for a year, and now he's coming back down, and now they got to do tests again to see...
never agree on the results, right? Yeah. One more try.
Can you imagine being like a female astronaut and getting your next assignment? You have to go to the space station for a year with three guys up there. by yourself.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the whole... Yeah, I don't even know if... It's just weird, you know. Well, one thing that I have always wondered is, do they have alcohol up there? Can they get drunk? And of course then it would be interesting to find out if zero gravity affects the hangover or not.
We were all thinking it.
why would you I can't believe they put booze on these things.
I don't think they would because of the the risks of having a drunk astronaut.
A drunk asshole going, "What's this for? I've always wanted to break this off." No.
Just pissing everywhere, having it floating all over. Yeah.
I mean, it is big. Yeah.
Had to go there, didn't
I wonder if there are, candidates at that level, like awesome astronauts that are just like, "Yeah, I can't give up booze for a year. I'm out." Yeah. Or maybe to get to that level, like, you're able to...
All right, I'm Googling this now.
What? Is there booze on the space station?
Yeah, figure that one out.
Maybe at the risk of sounding racist, maybe that's the hardest part about finding a Russian volunteer. Finding somebody willing to give up booze for a year.
Well, and also this week in science, what else happened? The first penis transplant happened.
Yikes.
Yes. Oh, dude, that dude's picture was hilarious. He's like giving them thumbs up like in the hospital bed. That was perfect.
I don't know any of the backstory.
I think he lost. It was a side effect of cancer.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So he had.
So they took the penis off a dead guy.
Cancer of the penis.
Cancer of penile cancer.
Honestly, he did.
Comes from too much masturbation, as we all know.
And he lost it like years ago.
Yeah.
And a single dude, and you know what, he's 60 some odd years old.
Yeah.
And and so there's this group that's been talking about organ replacement, and they kind of recontacted him and going, "Hey, what do you think? You want to give it a go?" And he said, "Sure, we'll give it a go." So he's going to have to take
pick.
Like...
I wonder if you get to pick. Do you get to pick which penis you
They have
get?
A catalog, John. They have
exactly.
Yeah, if I'm going, I want the Cadillac of penises.
Hey, Doc, I have a couple sketches here. Yeah. If you could look these over. Yeah.
Oh, are you going European, American? Yeah. I mean, a lot of choices.
What movie was that, Superbad, where that's all he's like, "I don't know why, I just can't stop drawing dicks."
Yeah. But I don't think this was the first one. I think there was... two or three
outside of the U.S. So this because this was the first one in the U.S.
Yes, but there was another one where over in Europe or somewhere that they did it, and the guy actually did go on to have a baby.
Oh, cool.
Well, that was one of the things.
Is it your own sperm? Is it just the penis, or is all the testicles? Okay, so the sperm would still be yours.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Oh, so now we're going to get into, you know, whose baby is this?
Oh, jeez.
Not mine.
Yeah, well, yeah, because, I mean, that's one thing that would, you know, yeah, that's interesting if, like, they could also do the testicles.
Yeah.
You know, because that has a lot of other implications.
Well, I was floored that was actually an option.
Yeah.
It's like, in the article I'm reading, it goes, you know, in a couple of weeks, he'll be able to, you know, urinate properly and all this stuff, and then sexual function will return. I was like, really?
Wow.
That's kind of impressive.
He's got the penis of a 20-year-old man. You know, who knows where it came from? They should say that, like, when you donate your organs, too, because sometimes they'll say that. They're like, oh, you could save 28 lives with your, you know, at the DMV when they ask you if you're an organ donor.
Yeah.
You can save 28 lives and one guy's sex life, you know?
And birth countless children.
Yeah, and birth countless, yeah.
Wow.
Wow,
so
right.
They have done a testicle twins. One was born with two, one was born with none. Early on in the lifespan, they took one from the twin.
Oh, really?
Gave it to the other. And they can't really tell you, but scientifically they said the genetics of the person would go through the testicle. So.
Oh, yeah. For twins, it wouldn't matter because they're genetically the same.
Right. But they said
for other,
they would. They theorized that if they were two separate people and the organ did was adopted by the new person.
It would be the original person's.
It would be their DNA going through.
Oh, weird.
Yeah. So that's what they said would probably happen. But nobody's ever really done separate testicle to new
person. You almost don't need a testicle transplant because that's just for reproduction.
Well, you would
don't
think,
need,
you
know, it, but
yeah. I mean, you could just get, like, you know, if you want, you would only want it to have kids, right? And you have other options for having kids.
But technically, this guy didn't need a penis transplant.
No. I mean, but like, if all you really wanted to do was have kids, and if it wasn't really your DNA after a testicle transplant, wouldn't you just go in vitro or something like that? You know.
Well, you don't have sperm, so you'd use somebody else's. But yeah.
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 But, I mean, it's fine. Yeah, I get it. But this was one of the...
Yeah.
Well,
no, it's
I got
very
a twin.
Interesting. Yeah.
Why not? And it was early on, so they did it, which is interesting.
It's amazing. Didn't they do a head transplant or something? Or a
face.
Face?
And they did a face.
They're thinking about doing a full head or something
problem,
like that?
And the problem... I don't know how many they've done, but I've read that one face didn't take.
Yeah.
And they're really concerned about how they're going to move forward with that because it's your skin is an organ, and it didn't adopt well with the host, and they're
so
not
what
sure
what happened. I mean,
I don't to be continued.
Yeah.
It's failing, and they have to come up. I'm sure they had a contingency if this was happening. I don't know if they just go get another face or if they try to do some
another
sort
face.
Of
just go get another face. It's rookie. Get us another face.
I don't know how it works. I'm assuming they've got them lined up, but you know.
I mean, it is amazing, though, to me, like, just all the body parts that could be replaceable.
Oh, man. There's some...
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of fascinating.
I can just see, like... No, I'm not even going to go there. Anyways.
I mean, we're talking about penis transplants.
Yeah, you really can't get
possibly be...
Just kind of like the... Oh, listen, we found a face. However... It, you know, and
the person's still alive.
No. Like
we have to kill this guy, or give him your face.
Yeah.
Those are your
it's a complete.
You got to find a number that
not
this guy
only
looks
is he ugly. He's a different race. Da 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 da. You know, it's a woman's fate. You know, all these other possibilities of like, you know, I get to see a comedy where it's like, you know, they're just kind of like, nope, this
oh,
one didn't
your
take.
Oh, vanity
and
goes
like,
into it. And
yeah,
everything.
Yeah. It's like, all right, well, we got to slap this one on you, and it's like, oh, this one didn't work. Oh, I don't like this one, or you know, it's just kind of a funny premise of like. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyways.
So whose face would you get? If you could pick any face, whose face would you pick?
Wow. Jeez.
David you're Hasselhoff. Horribly scarred and marred and, you know, you need a new face.
I want a face that doesn't get razor burn. That's like, that's...
Wasn't it South Park where the teacher got David Hasselhoff? He went in for a plastic surgery.
Yeah.
He looked like the Hoff
there
afterwards.
There
you go. Yep.
That's who you would pick?
No.
It would if it wouldn't look so weird when I took my clothes off.
Whoa, boy.
I would like a tan face just so I wouldn't have to put sunscreen on my face.
I knew that's where you were going to go.
You know, but like... then it would look so weird when I disrobe that I have this one tan part of my body. For the listeners out there that haven't seen me, I'm incredibly pale. and then I could just wear like long sleeve shirt and pants, and I'd never have to worry about sunscreen. Yeah. You know? But it would look, I feel, too weird.
It would be very bizarre.
Yeah.
And I think that's where Dion's going with the...
I hope so.
Oh, yeah. You'd have to find somebody that sort of fits your complexion and so on.
But I think, and that's kind of what this organ transplant group, it feels like they're headed towards is, well, what else can we do?
Yeah, exactly. You know?
Why not? Let's try a full arm. Let's try anything, and you could end up Frankensteining someone into, which is I think where you were.
Kind of. That's what I was doing. Frankensteining, a face on the wrong body would be kind of funny, but what happens if they find a face that they think will take and it's just either ugly or really wrong pigment of skin color or
usually the people who get a face transplant have had such a catastrophic injury to their face.
Yeah, like attacked by a chimp or something.
Yeah, they're not really kind of
that happened.
That's the worst. I'm thinking fires and whatnot, chemical.
Yeah, no, that lady went on Oprah with no face after her chimp attacked her.
She got attacked by a chimpanzee.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys remember that back in the day, but yeah.
Yeah.
She just happened to have a chimpanzee, which is, essentially a wild human.
Wasn't she a trainer?
No, she was just a woman who had a pet chimp, and it grew to an adult, and one day her friend came over, and her friend had something like a dog or flowers that just set it off.
Yeah.
And it started attacking her friend, and then she tried to get it, and then it attacked the owner.
Oof.
And I think chimps also go for the growing area, so that comes...
They do.
That penis transplant would be...
They do.
Useful in that
useful.
Case.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In that case.
They do. They're mean, nasty fighters, is what I'm hearing.
They are.
They do not fight
one
fair.
One on your side in a street fight. In the
All right. Well, we've covered a range of topics today. I'm just...
I'm trying to find anything to talk about?
Well, I mean, I'm Googling Sexiest Man Alive, People Magazine, just to try and find a face for me in the future. I don't know. I got a lot to choose from here.
I want Nick Nolte's face circa 1982 when he was named Sexiest Man Alive.
No, if you Google it, you get like Liam, you get like a Hemsworth and David Beckham for like every result, even though they were like, that's all you get. So I'm like, I guess that's...
Those are the sexiest men alive.
I guess that's what I would get. I don't know.
All right, sticking on the face theme, has anybody gone down the road with one of these shaving clubs?
I have. Dollar Shave. I'm there.
You like it?
It's definitely cheaper. You can tell it to only come every other month, which is good.
Uh-huh.
And this is, again, why I said I want a razor burn face, because I have... No matter what I use, I get razor burn. And I use the different shave butters and the oils and the gels and the creams and nothing. The sharpest razor with the best shave butter has still not saved my skin.
Have you tried? Because my dad and a lot of my hipster friends swear by like old fashioned safety razors. Have you tried that? Hmm. And it's actually cheaper than even Dollar Shave. Because you can buy like 50
like a straight
razors
razor.
For... Yeah. No, not a straight razor. So not like the Al Capone
long-handled
one.
Not a straight blade.
A safety razor.
A safety razor is one that it sort of looks almost like a box cutter razor that you put inside.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yep.
Have you tried those?
Yeah.
You might want to try... I don't know. My dad and a lot of my hipster friends swear by it because like they're supposed to be better quality razors. If you don't mind like... The problem is you got to get a screwdriver out. Like every time the blade goes dull, you got to get a screw. So the blade lasts like 2 weeks or whatever.
Sure.
But the blades are super cheap. They're like, you buy them in bulk from China.
Yeah.
And they're like, for $5, you get a year's worth or something like that. And if you don't mind the time of replacing the blades, the people who use it swear by it.
Hmm. I don't know if it's the sharpness of the blade that causes it or it's just... my skin, right? So, but,
I think, they claim, this is what I've been told, and who knows how correct it is, that it is the sharpness of the blade in the sense that what you usually get razor blade from is, if it's duller, as it cuts, it tugs the skin up, and then it irritates the skin. So, like, the sharper it is, the less friction there is against the skin.
Sure. Less friction sounds better, like, right? Yeah.
You get less burn. So you really want just the sharpest possible thing you can find, which that's why. And then,
but don't those safety razors? This is like my dad used to use this.
Yeah, my
right?
dad used it too. He still does. Yeah.
And it's like a handle, and then there's like a platform, and you literally put the blade yeah. flat on it.
Yeah, that's exactly correct.
And then
correct.
There's the, you know, the top part yeah. of it, right? That's fine, but that means you're getting a blade that's just like literally perpendicular to your face.
Yeah, so you have to like learn to shave yeah. with a perpendicular blade.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's the other thing. Like it'll change how you shave. Like you have to pay. Well, remember how often our dads would come down with like a Kleenex uh-huh. from cutting oh, themselves yeah. shaving? Sure. I mean, like, with a modern razor, you almost never cut yourself, but right. you don't get as good as a shave. Like, that's sort of what we've traded. Ah,
there's two you know? Things that I have. When each of my grandfathers passed, my grandmother gave me their, like, shaving, their razor and, like, a little thing. And they, you know, the whole old school whip
the,
up the shaving cream.
Brush,
and
the horsehair
brush. The horse brush with the thing. And they both had pretty similar setups, which I thought was interesting over the years. And so I have both of their straight razor and mm-hmm. both of their little dip cups and both of their horse things. And I have them, you know, they're kind of just sitting on a shelf as kind of a memento of my grandfather's. But yeah.
Break them out, man.
I'm just saying they both use the exact same thing for how many years, right? So, uh-huh. yeah.
Have any guys gone to a barber or gotten a straight
no.
or
yeah,
seen
no.
someone get one?
I have. I've gotten one.
I watched my friend and his brother get one on his wedding day, and I'm like, after I saw them do it, I'm like, there's no way I'm doing that, because it's gory. I mean, there's you get nicks and
oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I'm watching my friend. I'm like, he's getting married in like 3 hours, and he's laying back, and I'm just watching blood just drip down his neck.
Oh my god.
And but then it's a whole process of, you know, wrapping the face
uh-huh.
and putting different creams on that uh-huh. stop the bleeding pretty much. And yeah.
Yeah, I did it on a vacation. It was the Route 66 trip.
Oh, okay.
And there's a guy, Angel Delgado, I believe is his last name. He's one of the guys that is attributed for helping save Route 66 because, you know, back in the day they were trying to shut it all down and he made impassioned speeches and whatnot to try to, you know, keep it alive. Well, he still has his barber shop, and it's really just a tchotchke shop in this tiny little town, right? It's what it's turned into. But he still had his chair in the old barber shop, and everything else is a store to sell memorabilia from Route 66. Well, we were there, and nobody else was there, and it was great. And we got into a conversation with him, and I said something about, I understand you still have your chair. And he goes, yeah, you want to see it? You want to see it? And he, like, took me into his spot where he is. You want to shave? You want to shave? And I was like, I don't want to slow you down. He goes, no. Clearly, he was very excited about it right. all. And I was like, yes, I'm in. And so, you know, the whole family's there watching me get a shave. And it was, you know, that. Me, in the chair, I wasn't thinking twice about it, but I heard the same thing. You know, my yeah. wife and everybody was like, man, that was a nasty blade he had right at your neck, man.
Yeah. You gotta have a, you know,
steady hand yeah. and this is not a young guy who was dealing with all this, but he did a great job.
I know my barber went through a phase where he was partying pretty hard, and I used to not go to him on Saturday mornings because he had the shakes.
Oh,
and I couldn't imagine like a barber, like a him giving a shave.
Right. Well, so you've done the Shave Club. No.
Have not.
No, Sean. No. What do you guys just do disposable blades, yeah. disposable razors?
I don't
razors?
Shave every day anymore.
Well, I don't. Yeah, my wife actually likes me to have like a little bit of a beard. So I just use like an electric. I just use hair clippers for my beard.
Oh, okay.
Like, and I do it like twice a week.
Yeah.
So
you don't have any of that problem.
Really have, no. Yeah, I don't have to deal with it.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
And I have a beard half the year, so
right.
that makes it easy.
Right. Well, I just was curious. So I got the trial from Dollar Shave, and I thought they weren't that great. Weren't
did you
that
get,
great.
Like, they have three blades. Did you get the best one or whatever?
Yeah. I went all, you know, whatever they call it, the executive or
yeah.
whatever they call it.
And I think it's the same as all the other blades that are on the market, but it's cheaper. That's all it is.
Yeah, it was.
So if you're gonna do like a Mach 3 or like a Hydro or whatever else is out there,
for me it didn't feel as good. It wasn't just as nice an experience. So I tried Harry's, and Harry's is actually better to me than Dollar Shave.
I don't think anything will be better unless I do a straight razor like Sean suggests. So
and then you're just gonna cut the fuck out. So of your face.
Yeah, right. I mean, I don't think I'll get. I've tried everything on the market. I mean, except for Harry's. I mean, I'm not gonna just start jumping club to club. But I don't think anything's gonna help. And I've used the best butters and oils and creams and gels.
You just have sensitive skin.
It's just gonna happen. So I shave every other day or skip on the weekends. And my wife doesn't come near me for a couple days. It's fine.
You got to toughen off that skin. Maybe use like some rubbing alcohol on it or something.
Or that stuff that...
that alcohol on our
Ross brought in.
Yeah. Ross brought in something. You can use that.
Oh, our Serbian developer.
You have to try it, You just have to let it touch your lips, and that's it.
Did you try it?
No, I smelled it. It almost burned my nose.
That's nasty.
Jesus.
That stuff. It was wicked. Yes?
Yeah. Nothing. I will save. Anyways,
That was my shave club section of the podcast.
Oh, all right, okay.
John, did you
technology that Gavin brought up this week, but he had to leave the room. What did
Gavin bring up?
What did IBM announce this week about?
Hard
drive.
That was actually me.
It's you.
They figured out a way without using quantum computing to save 3 bits per like hard drive cell rather than just true or false. And it like increases speed and storage capacity logarithmically. Yeah.
And that was IBM that did that, right?
It was IBM. Yeah, they're able to like somehow manipulate. So it still technically only saves like true or false, but they're able to manipulate the voltage, and it creates like a third state that they can decipher. And
And what are they using it for?
Storage. So it's like for RAM.
Phase change memory.
Yes, that is it. So it can be one of 3 states instead of just true or false.
Huh. And it's based on just a low, medium, or high charge rate.
Yeah, I think so. So it's like, like true and false, and then it's like low voltage false or something like that. And then from that, they get 3 states, and they're able to, like, you know, that makes it exponentially faster.
And we joked in the room that the teleportation guy probably had a day off of his job and was able to...
Came up with that
idea.
So maybe we'll ask that for our hosted cloud services.
Yeah.
If we could get... What was it called again, Dion?
PCM.
Is it PCM compliant?
Yeah.
Our users like to have 3 different email addresses to be contacted at. Oh, they don't read any of them, but so we thought a hard drive that could save in groups of 3 would be more ideal.
We would like those servers with the phase change memory in the cloud. If you could set those up for us, that'd be great.
Can I open a ticket for that, though?
Oh, should open a ticket for that.
I think we're just looking for servers at this point in
really not state of the art future on the spaceship Enterprise.
Although
computers.
Maybe if we ask for the latest and greatest, we'll get it. Right?
I wonder if these guys working on these projects have to deal with the same thing. Like, I think I'm really close to like basically making a breakthrough in storage capacity. I just need a new server. And I don't know.
Can you up the memory on my server for like a week?
If I were you, I would just figure out a way to save 3 states in a single cell before opening up another ticket. It's like, that's going to be years.
That's exactly.
Yeah, so I would figure out more storage by like.
That's exactly how innovation happens.
Yeah.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
We can probably shut down this server to give you the horsepower you need.
And then you guys may have talked about that. I don't know what you talked about. There was talked about the camera. Did you guys talk about this, the Lytro camera?
Yeah, we talked about it a little bit.
Okay, because that wasn't that was after, I think. Was that the...
No. Yeah, that was near the end.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I brought up...
You had a lot of... Dion actually had a lot of opinions on this.
The Lytro camera?
Yeah.
It's the original was a still camera that was really, you know, kind of took a broad depth of field and allowed you to, you know, recompose your picture after the fact. So if you said, you know, if you've ever taken a picture with a camera and gotten kind of the box in the background in focus and all the people in front of it out of focus, this camera kind of took the full depth of field and let you say, oh, well, I'm just going to change that. I'm going to, I want my depth to be this deep. So I get the people in focus and that can be blurry in the background. Or widen it so everything's in focus, or tighten it so one thing is. and if you look at their website, it's really cool. You can kind of browse around and see that. Well, now they're doing it in film. And this film camera, it's like a Volkswagen. I mean, it's not a small thing, but they're doing, you know, digital capture of these images to the point where they're effectively going to, and I'm sure you talked about this, but they're effectively going to remove the need for green screen, because you can pretty much take every layer or any object in the frame and single it out and go, okay, well, you know what? I'm going to take John in the chair and I'm going to put him in, you know, by the ocean in that same chair on the beach, because I have the video footage of all that, and I'll just drop him in place. And it makes it that kind of level of control. It looks amazing. Hmm. I mean, I can't imagine how much this bloody thing costs, but it,
sure, if it's huge too.
And how big these files are? I mean,
oh my god,
astronomical. Yeah. The IBM cloud can't handle it.
Can't handle it.
Unlimited space.
Not enough space to have. Yep.
But it's really, I don't know. I suggest you go look at their website and see some of the stuff they're doing, because it's really cool stuff. They took, you know, a pool table and showed how, because you can isolate any object, you can kind of do blur on objects after the fact. You can do all of that in post, because you have every element at your fingertips.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it's really very cool. On the technical spectrum, something that I think, you know, IBM's solving the storage problem for this video camera effectively.
Yeah.
So what's been going on in your world, Sean? You're going out of town.
Yeah, I'm leaving for L.A. Monday. If I make my flight, apparently Chicago's having a lot of TSA problems.
Oh, yes.
3 hours ahead of time you have to be there.
I've been looking lately, and yeah, Midway now says 3 hours ahead, which is ridiculous.
That's completely insane.
Yeah. Well, apparently, like, the TSA spokesman was hilarious for it. I love spokesmen that are just totally deny that, don't even try and address your concerns. Like, they paint this sunny thing that isn't even, like, remotely close, like denying how hated they are at everything. He's like, oh no, listen, this is a good thing. It means the economy's doing better and more Americans are flying. This is a great problem to have, you know.
But they cut their staff, right?
They cut their, so they apparently upped the, I guess they did this stress test a few months ago. They sent 70 convicted felons into different airports with guns. 67 made it through.
Oh my gosh.
Convicted felons with guns.
Wow.
So they have like a 90% failure rate. Oh. So they changed their protocols while they cut their staff.
Oh, right, of course.
While ridership is going up. So that's the issue. And they thought everybody would sign up for this pre-check, but it, like, doesn't make economic sense. You have to fly, like, five times a year for it to make sense,
right,
I feel.
Right,
because it's like, $100 for 5 years, but you also have to meet in person, and it's, like, a lengthy, you have to drive somewhere, and, like,
right,
it's like, you know, if you're only flying twice a year, just eat the time you spend in line.
Right.
You know, yeah.
And the summer, you know, travelers, not that everybody's in this case, but, you know, you got, like, my family of five. Everybody has to be pre-checked,
yeah, exactly,
or it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, it's just like a disaster now. And I don't know, maybe it'll be good, because I think Americans have always just deep down inside felt the TSA is totally useless, you know, and not really catching security. And
right,
now that it's like not even functioning, maybe we'll just get rid of it or put a system that works in place. I don't know.
Hopefully.
You know,
But yeah, sorry, to get to your question, yeah, I'm going to L.A. on Monday, and I will be out until Thursday I come back.
And you're, what are you doing?
I'm filming for a new show on Comedy Central called This Is Not Happening, where it is comics telling true crazy stories.
So you tell your own personal stories?
I'm telling my own personal story that one of our coworkers has lent his name to, since I'm not allowed to use the real name.
Love it.
I'm not allowed to use the real name of the, I don't know if he's the victim in this story or what he is, but I almost died sneaking into a corporate party. I had somebody else's credentials, and the story's about how, as I thought I was going to die, they were going to call this guy's wife, you know.
Yeah. and tell her what you did.
Yeah, exactly.
Thinking that, it was, you know, her husband.
And just walked off a building and everything. Yeah. And
oh, don't ruin it, Sean.
I'm not going to ruin it. But but anyways, I'm not allowed to use his name for legal reason. The guy's credentials, who I actually took, who I don't know. I've never met. So I reached out to a guy in our company who has this great American business name. And he said, I can use it. Yeah.
That's great.
I wish we could say it.
I know.
Well, so I guess watch it next season and you'll find out.
Yeah. So fun to say.
Yeah.
Will you dial in for our little podcast next week, or are you
Wednesday?
You busy
I'm good
Wednesday?
All day if you do it Wednesday. Yeah. Yeah, right, we'll do it Wednesday.
We'll just grab some of those guys, grab some beers, sit around Louis a hotel room.
If we
and
get TJ.
Oh, jeez.
Here we go again.
We can't afford that.
We're already underwater.
Although it looks like he's tweeting all afternoon today, so he's got some time right now. Why don't we pick up the phone and call him? He's been tweeting a lot right now.
Great. No, but that sounds good. When's excited. The shooting? Is it
Tuesday night?
Okay, so it is a specific night.
Cool.
You guys were talking about the, I think as we were getting ready for this, the drunkest cities in America.
Oh yeah, that was funny. John found that article.
11 of the top. Is it 20?
11 of the top 20 cities hail from the great state of Wisconsin.
Woo-hoo! Yes,
including
go
the top two.
On Wisconsin, go Badgers.
I believe, what were the top two? Was it Madison and
Madison's
Green Bay?
Madison's like five.
Oh, what were the top two then?
Let me look that up. Dion, do you have it up?
Appleton. Green Bay, Madison.
Oh, hilarious.
Yes. Well, Green Bay, you know, the Packers and, you know, a lot of partying there. And then Madison is the college.
La Crosse, Fond du Lac, Wausau, Sheboygan, Racine. Aren't they all there?
But most of them, but like 17 are Midwestern cities.
And yeah,
right.
We just have nothing to do here but drink is apparently what
cold
we're saying.
Cold winters. Yep.
I was in L.A. once, and it was me and a bunch of Chicago people getting together, and we were at this bar, and there was probably like 15 of us. You know, and everybody's, you know, it's like, you know, our normal night out, you know, everybody's having beers, couple shots, maybe, you know, some cocktails, and the bartender goes, hey, I just got to ask, you know, are you guys coming from a funeral or something? And we're like, no, why? He's like, oh, I just assumed with the way you guys were drinking that somebody died. Just like, and it felt like a normal evening for us. It's just like, I don't think you realize how much the Midwest drinks until you go to other cities, you know, and you drink like that.
Well, that's the thing. Every time I know Wisconsin plays in like the Rose Bowl or like a Holiday Bowl, the towns aren't ready for
the
amount
beer
of
consumption
beer
do.
Consumption
yeah.
and sausage. Bratwurst. So, like, they always say that, you know, well, we've upped to the number of beer and sausages we brought to Pasadena this year, and they always seem to,
And they still ran out.
They run out every year. Absolutely.
Well, I don't know. When I go to New York, it seems like I never drink as much as I drink when I'm in New York.
New York's a hard-drinking city. I think out west, everyone's more fit, and they don't drink as hard. But I would agree with that with New York. Yeah, definitely.
Deanne, do you want to
It may be
on
who
that?
I work with, too, but that's a different thing.
No comment.
No comment.
L.A., out west, too, everyone has to drive home, too, which also keeps you in check, you know.
A lot less people
Hopefully.
In New York have cars.
Yeah, exactly, you know.
Hopefully. Well, I think Wisconsin is perfect. From our perspective, south of Wisconsin, that makes perfect sense. I would guess Indiana is my second choice, but that's, again, just because of how close I am to Indiana.
I would say Minnesota. I mean, it's pretty rough winters.
Rough winters. But didn't Illinois make any points with this Palatine guy and the DUI?
I thought that was great. I love that picture.
This guy was driving on the sidewalk. But, yeah.
Do we have the article handy?
Let me pull it up here.
But apparently he was...
He was the designated driver.
The designated driver.
And he drove on a sidewalk and got pulled over and failed the sobriety. And then... do you have it handy,
yeah,
Sean?
Yeah, I have it right here. So this is...
And I think this...
First of all, in his mugshot, he's looking straight up into the heavens with his mouth agape.
Which should be this week's podcast picture.
Yeah. You like that one?
Yeah, I like that one.
Yeah, so they were called when they saw him swerving on Ogden Avenue, traveling 45-mile-an-hour in a 25-mile-an-hour zone. When the squad car turned its lights on, the vehicle started driving on the sidewalk before finally coming to a stop next to a restaurant. Kaminsky, who is the guy who, the drunk guy, failed sobriety tests and told an officer he was driving home because he was, quote, the most sober. I'm the designated driver. But what's funny is he did have a passenger in there that was taken to the hospital for alcohol poisoning.
So he was
the most sober.
So he was the most sober.
Well, it doesn't say they didn't take him in and figure out that he had alcohol poisoning.
But what was the last sentence?
He then told police, "This is going to be a memorable night for you," and vomited into a trash can.
This is going to be a memorable night for you.
For you.
He refused to blow into a breathalyzer and did not cooperate.
But Illinois is not on the top 20 list of drunk states.
Well, did you see that video from a couple months ago that became kind of a viral hit where, like, a cop right outside of Chicago pulled over a lady that had a tree coming out of her car?
Yeah.
She ran into a tree, like, in her Cadillac.
Oh, really?
And the grill, she hit it so hard that the grill wrapped around the tree, and then she just kept driving.
You have to see the video.
Okay.
It is hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, it looks... I mean, it's surreal. It really does... It looks like a fake car, like a Dr. Seuss car or something that has a tree coming out of the engine. And she's just driving on a surface road with this tree in front of her car.
How the car continued to function in order to drive at all?
It should almost be like a viral commercial for whatever brand of car like how tough it was.
Yeah.
This is in Roselle, Illinois.
Another fine place.
I'm watching the video right now.
A 15-foot tree was lodged into the front grill.
15 feet.
Oh my gosh.
The post... All right, so somebody put it on Facebook. The post has already more than 20,000 shares. Oh, yeah, because the police force just uploaded it to their Facebook profile. Like, they didn't expect it to go there. Like, just, by the way, folks, don't drink and drive and just put it up there, you know? And after stopping the driver, the officer also noticed the airbags had deployed. She was so drunk, she didn't know she had a tree.
I love that the car keeps operating with the airbag on off, with the tree in front of it.
It's kind of an amazing testament to this car.
Looks like a Lincoln Town Car or something.
It does. It definitely looks like some sort of luxury.
Wait, where is it?
Cop walks up to the car like, what the hell are you doing? Oh, that's classic. That's great.
Yes, the video is pretty good. It's surreal, I think, is the right way to describe it. What is going on here? speaking of cars, I guess the U.S. government has inquired, and this may have been a little while ago, but they inquired to Toyota, trying to figure out why ISIS always
has
Toyota trucks.
Yeah.
What is it about Toyota? Why are they always in Toyota trucks? And maybe that's the deal. Maybe they're just, you know, that tough. And the ISIS world buys Toyota trucks or
I wouldn't be surprised if Donald Trump tries to outlaw Toyota in the United States now.
Because of that?
Yeah. He found a connection.
It's getting so scary. That's all I have to say.
Oh, we're going to go to... what's getting scary to me is, you know, we were joking about and then expecting the Republican convention to deteriorate.
Yep.
And now it's looking like the Democrat convention may deteriorate into ridiculousness because Bernie supporters are all getting upset. Did you see that?
Yeah, like, today.
They're throwing chairs and making noise at the Nevada convention or whatever? Now it's the Democrat side of the ticket that's out of control.
I think this 4 years is going to be a
they
mess.
Had, they had the 538 guy on there, and he was basically saying, like, we are pretty accurate in predicting most elections, but we fear that everybody who says they're going to vote for somebody other than Trump is lying, because they're actually going to vote for Trump, but they don't want to admit it. So we can't get real numbers because we can't trust people when they say they aren't voting for Trump. He actually said that. Nate Silver said, our numbers are going to be off. We can't get solid, real numbers from people because they don't want to say they're going to vote for Trump.
That's called the Bradley effect.
So
where it's, if you're ashamed of who you're going to vote for, you lie on polls. It's right. Like a real political phenomena. I think it had to do with, like, they found it was some, it's named after some dude who lost an election in California who was black, and he was polling super high. And then they just realized, oh, these people are just racist, you know, and they weren't willing to admit that they weren't going to vote for the guy because he's black.
Huh.
But there is a real effect that if you're embarrassed about why you're voting for somebody, you lie on polls, but you don't lie in the voting box.
Well, so, you know, if there's a silver lining to any of this, and it means that we stop putting so much weight on the polls and influencing the fact that people just don't go because, well, so-and-so's going to win anyway.
Yeah, no, totally, yeah.
That wouldn't be a bad thing.
Yeah.
But
I was trying to explain
crazy.
To Ross this morning. He asked, we're talking about, there was a primary last night or yesterday, and he's like, why are people still voting for Cruz and Kasich if they're out of the race? And I'm like, well, they're basically trying to give the middle finger to Trump, because that's how much he's hated, that they're voting for people that don't even
right.
matter anymore.
They're sending their message.
Yep.
And that's, you know, I'm just not real happy with any of it that's going on right now, and I hope that the Democrats get their act together and at least settle things down before the convention. Bernie did the wrong thing. I'm sorry, Bernie did the wrong thing when he didn't come out just blanket and say, no, I don't support that. That's
yeah,
out
yeah.
of line.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I'm kind of upset at him for not being more vocal about the Nevada situation and telling his people to calm the fuck down.
He did the opposite. Did he claim his office was shot at or something like that?
All I saw was that he was basically defending them.
Yeah, yeah.
Our people need to have, you know, be respected more than they're being respected, blah, blah, blah. Sure. It's like, that's called fanning the flames, Bernie. Mm-hmm. That's not what we need right now. So
maybe we'll get some crazy third party guy to put his hat in the ring. Is Ross Perot still alive?
I don't know.
He might
still
be alive.
Mitt Romney is trying to get Cuban,
the Dallas Mavericks owner. He
was just trying to get anyone, any third party, to run. Huh. So Mitt Romney actually this week tried to get Mark Cuban, the billionaire.
Wait, just to make Trump lose?
What's a third party candidate in the race.
He would only hurt Republicans.
But I think Perot is still alive.
Bring him back.
Wow. Bring him back.
Dana Carvey did a pretty good Ross Perot impersonation.
He's 85. Bring back Dana Carvey, too. Dana Carvey as his VP. As Ross Perot.
But what, Cuban as a candidate or Cuban as a supporter of
candidate.
A third?
Yeah,
no,
as a candidate.
Mark Cuban.
I think this was like the last straw of the, against Trump campaign. I think Mitt Romney and all the ultra-conservatives.
Romney hates him, yeah.
Yeah, ultra-conservatives are basically saying, okay, we can't.
Everything's calming down on that side of the coin, and
it's
the Democrats
so
are still
so
wound
sad.
Up.
Well, that's what you do when you know you're trying to nominate someone for a losing race. You get a self-funded billionaire so they can pay their own campaign. So the national campaigns don't have to do any of their own stuff. That's what they do across the board in any level of politics.
Hmm. Well, I don't know that I can talk about it anymore unless there's something else of that.
Did you guys cover Trump and Putin?
We didn't go to that length. I was just discussing how Nate Silver was saying that he's already gotten Trump projections wrong because of what Sean has mentioned is called the Bradley effect, where people say when they are embarrassed of who they're going to vote for, they lie.
Right.
And Nate Silver is basically saying, yeah, when we poll people, they're just lying to us. So that's why our numbers are wrong. I mean, I can tell you what they told us is right based on those numbers. But if they're lying to us, what am I supposed to do? So
I listened to his podcast just yesterday, and they had they have a segment on the ESPN, whatever their 538, whatever podcast is. And they do good use of polling or bad use of polling. And their example poll was what is least popular, Donald Trump or lice? And it was lice that outscored Donald Trump. And I think like Rachel Maddow or someone used it on their on their show. It was an obvious use
of
bad
polling. Donald Trump or gonorrhea.
But, right. It's kind of funny.
Eesh. I guess it's funny. Maybe we should talk about it. Is it time for the Game of Thrones segment?
No.
Yeah. That groaning you hear?
This is when I check out and I leave.
Just get a quick nap in. I am pleasantly surprised because I was like, you know, like you, Steve, I was kind of feeling, you know, you were kind of feeling your way like, all right, where is this going? I feel like the last episode really righted the ship in terms of moving the plot forward and kind of just having some moments, like some real genuine moments.
Yes.
How do you feel about it?
Yes, I agree that they finally are headed somewhere again, and it feels like, you know, it almost feels like they were listening to some of the, all right, what's going on? Mm-hmm. This is silliness. Going on?
When was it, Sunday?
It was Sunday.
Yep.
Yes.
So it was after SNL. Because SNL, which we talked about yesterday briefly with and Dan in the office, where I thought it was kind of funny. I don't even watch Game of Thrones. SNL was making fun of Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
And you and Dan were both like, yeah, it wasn't that funny. No. I didn't think it was funny. And what they were basically saying was they had Jon Snow laying on a table dead. And they're like, okay, speed this up, guy. We know he's coming back. Come on, guys, hurry up. And like, there's these two women just standing on the side going, let's go. And they're like taking their time, and then they're taking their time, and they're procrastinating, and they're like, we're wasting all this time? Can you just bring them back already? Like, stop it. And like making fun of it. And I thought it was funny the way they were putting on this whole, like, come on already.
To be fair, if you were a book reader, I mean, you've been waiting for so long. And you really didn't know in any way if he was coming back or not. I mean, in the show, obviously there was like, in the off season during the summer times, like there were reports that he was, you know, seen on the set, and there were casting things and that could give you some type of clue. But I mean, he was only gone for like an episode and a half in the show.
I mean,
it just happened to be during the off season. So.
Right.
I don't think it took too long. I was kind of surprised that they brought him back so early. You know, I mean, they could have stretched it out till halfway through the show and just had this big looming, lingering thing.
They could have stretched out the entire season.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have been surprised.
Right.
As a non-viewer, I'm glad you appreciated Saturday Night Live's take on it.
That was funny. I thought it was funny. It was like, okay, cool, I can appreciate that. If it was only two episodes, then it seemed a little crazy.
Yeah,
but I think they're making fun of the fact that they just watched the season premiere, and they wasted all this time on, okay, come on.
Yeah, like it does address that frustration that people are watching the episodes, like, so distracted, like, yeah, Bran, whatever, this is cool. But anyway, what about John? You know, like, I do get that, for sure.
So that's what I thought was funny.
No, and there was another gratuitous naked scene from our favorite. So
that's good.
That's not a bad thing. So
no, and like you can see where some epic battles might be about to go down.
Oh, I mean, absolutely.
Like, yeah, this is shit's about to start happening again. So it's gonna be really cool. And like a lot of people have complained about Ramsay Bolton being this like almost cartoonish evil villain at this point, but like. Yeah, he never loses and he keeps winning, but like it's very clear they've been propping him up this entire time just so that when he actually gets killed, the moment is going to be so fucking epic.
Yeah, yeah, and it's coming.
Yeah.
We know it's coming.
Yeah.
Yeah, hopefully soon, but so yes, there is your Game of Thrones moment, because we lost like at least three people, so we can move on to other things. Was there a show you'd like to talk about? Yeah.
No. I don't watch TV.
That's a crock of shit. What,
yeah, I don't believe that. The man who has a football button. And a 4K TV.
Golden State lost. The Cavaliers are dominating. The Blackhawks aren't in the playoffs anymore.
Hockey's over.
White Sox?
Baseball's dominating in Chicago.
I guarantee you our listeners will know more about Game of Thrones and everything else you just talked about.
Yeah. So, I mean, blah, blah, blah. Who cares? That's what I'm saying.
I walked into a very depressing podcast.
You did.
All right. Well, John, did you have...
I do have some good ones this
Fender
week.
Scum this week?
I do. I have one. I'm not sure if I've talked about this because it's kind of old, but I don't remember reading this one. This vendor gave me best and worst case scenarios of us talking together. So worst case, you spend 15 minutes learning about a technology that could really impact your company, but the timing just isn't right. Best case, you agree with your Chicago neighbor, GoGo, that App Dynamics rocks and want to see a demo.
Ooh.
And his instead of like sincerely, it says, let's do this. Wow.
I would like to see like a PS, like worst case is like I slip into like a great depression and like lose my family and my job and my kids.
I'm just picturing some like a big testosterone like guy.
Let's do this.
Come on, let's do this.
Yeah.
So that was a good one.
B2B spam. Yeah.
I got one this week from a company who at their booth and upcoming expo will be giving away s'mores. Ooh. To get people to come visit them. So they gave a whole bunch of recipes of different types of s'mores to make.
Recipes for s'mores.
We got another one from our favorite Couchbase this week.
Oh, Couchbase.
Which is good.
Did you give them my email? Because now I have them in my spam. Thanks.
Yeah, sorry about that. And this one guy today wants to have, he says, hi, John. I'm hoping we can have a conceptual discussion.
A conceptual discussion.
About to get real conceptual.
He wants to get conceptual with me.
Ew.
So, yeah.
I think my favorite is still the guy who listed off the point by point every minute.
Two minutes.
Yeah. That was amazing. John, I think you got like some email about someone who had millions of dollars they wanted to transfer to
you.
Yeah,
so I think we all have been getting these people from Spain, I think.
Yeah.
Did you get one as well?
I did. You know, it actually made it. I had filtered them previously. I have now up to 40 different people in my Vendor Scum blacklist. So these go right to my junk mail folder because our natural spam list doesn't do anything. But this one, I have four copies of it just from yesterday, apparently.
Yeah, and you've added them to your address book, so now you'll make sure you get everyone.
Yes.
Perfect.
Because I want this money.
Yep.
So
I want this money.
They've been trying to transfer money, and then we just need to go to a website and probably give us
click
them
the link.
Our bank information.
Click
can
the link.
Wire it to us.
Well, I'm glad we have Elisa in so she can translate for us.
Translate our vendor scum now. Yeah. Our spam. Anything else, Deanne?
I don't think so.
Anybody, we'll wind this down. Does anybody have anything you want to end with? No, if not, this has been the Worldwide IT Guys. Kind of a low and slow group today. Thank you for listening.
Yeah.
This is easy listening, 98.5. We are the Worldwide IT Guys, www.itguys.com, and on Twitter, and check us out. Bye.
Send us money, please.
All of it. All right, I just went to Drudge Report. Trump drops R-word on Clinton. They have the spinning alert that he does for all of his really important stuff. I don't know what that R-word
is. What's the R-word is?
Is it? I don't know what it is. He's not linking to anything, but this is apparently about to be big news.
Racist?
Huge news. It could be a lot of things.
Right wing?
List them off.
Republican?
Republican.
Yeah, it's clearly Republican. Well, thanks, guys.
It's a daily thing with him.
What else did you guys...